Would you turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14? Proverbs 14. We're so thankful here in Grand County that summer arrived before the 4th of July. Now, for those of you who are visiting with us today, as a congregation this year, we are reading through the Bible pretty much in lockstep, certain devotionals every day. Why do we do that? Because as elders here, we believe very strongly that every Christian should be well-versed in the Word of God. We should know the Word, and the Word should be permeating every facet of our life. Now, the Bible says in Psalms 1, says, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. How many want to be blessed by God? Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in what? Is in the law of the Lord. And on this law, he thinks about it every time he gets a chance. No, it doesn't say that. It says, upon this law he meditates, how often? Day and night upon the word of God. And it says, that person will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf never withers. Have you ever heard of Christians who say, I just feel dry? You know why we get dry? Because we're not living in the Word of God. God promises if His Word lives within us, we won't dry up in our Christianity. We'll be communing with Him every day. And that psalm goes on to say, in all that He does, He prospers. We believe that Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, they live in you, you can ask whatever you want, it'll be done for you. Boy, isn't that great? So, the Word of God is important. And we've been on Sundays talking about the scriptures that we will be reading this next week. This morning we finished up Proverbs 13, and tomorrow we're going to be reading on Independence Day, Proverbs 14. And in Proverbs 14 is a very, very specific scripture that has to do with our nation. So let's look at Proverbs 14. We're just going to read a couple of selected verses before we get to that verse, okay? Proverbs 14, verse 2. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. Look at verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Do you think the leaders of our land are leading us in a way that seems right to them? Verse 15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but the fool is reckless and careless. Verse 26. In the fear of the Lord one has confidence, strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Look at the benefits of walking in the fear of the Lord for our families. Next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. And verse 34 is the verse we're going to focus on today. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now, this coming week, for those of you in our congregation, we're going to read some powerful passages of scriptures. We're going to be finishing the book of Proverbs. We're going to be moving into and finishing the book of Ecclesiastes. And we will finish the book of the Song of Solomon this next week. Is that awesome or what? A lot of powerful truths in there. And I put in your notes a couple things to look for as we go into this. Number one, when you think of Proverbs 31, what do you think of? The Proverbs 31 woman, right? Now, there's two women in Proverbs 31. There's a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, but there's another woman specifically there who's a mother of a son, and she gives her son some excellent counsel with regard to drinking alcohol. Look for that in Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. Also, this week, we'll be looking at what happens to people who make pleasure the pursuit of their life. Do you think in America we have a problem with hedonism today? Hedonism is the main pursuit of my life, is my personal pleasure. Ecclesiastes 2 is a great passage of scripture that talks about what happens when we make pleasure the pursuit of our life. And also in Ecclesiastes, the last verses talk about our purpose in life. So many people are saying, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us specifically. Many other things that we're going to be learning this week. But today we're going to be talking about God's word that says righteousness exalts a nation, because we are celebrating Independence Day, right? Tomorrow, 4th of July, Independence Day. And one of the things that I'd like us to remember in celebrating Independence Day is what has made our nation so great. We have a great, great land, great nation, United States of America. And our founding fathers knew what it would take to see the blessing of God on our land. When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, listen to what it says here. Because the Christian foundation of our nation, which some people are trying to deny today, was clear in the Declaration of Independence. Listen to these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They are endowed by their Creator. That sounds pretty Christian to me. We are created by Almighty God. It doesn't say that all men are evolved from lower forms of life, does it? It says all men are created equal. As we say here, we did not begin in the goo, progress to the zoo, and end up with you. That's not what happened. God created us, and He created us by design. And that's what they knew. We are endowed with inalienable rights, rights that cannot be alienated from us, not be taken away from us. Why? Because they're given by God. And since they are given by God, we are accountable for what we do with those freedoms that we have, right? God has given us these blessings in our life, these gifts, these talents that He's endowed us with. And He's given us the freedom to pursue His will for our lives. Among all those is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Many things that God has given us. Why is this statement so important? Because when we begin with God, we begin at the right point, and righteousness exalts a nation. Now, in the Bible, sometimes Christians get a little confused because there are two dimensions of the word righteousness. Righteousness literally means, from the Greek, the character or quality of being right or just. It also means right action. So it's being right and it's right action. When you look at righteousness in the Bible, for instance, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we have become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has imputed His righteousness to us, which means we have right standing before God through Christ our Lord. We can't add to that. We can't subtract from that. Jesus has done everything for us. Amen? Amen. It's because of Him that we have right standing before God. But righteousness also means right action, right living, all right? So there is right standing and right living before God. That's why the Bible tells us, even though we have right standing before God in our righteousness, we are to pursue righteousness. And that shouldn't be confusing to us if we understand there's those two dimensions. For instance, in Matthew chapter 6:33, Jesus said, in fact, in this whole passage, He says, don't be stressed out about anything. How many know that's possible? I see a lot of hands. I don't know about that. Jesus said, have no anxiety in anything, in anything. How can we do that? He said, the pagans, the unbelievers, those outside of God's kingdom have to worry about life. They got to worry about the future. They got to worry about what the economy is going to do and what this world is going to do and what terrorism is going to do and how we're all going to end up and is it a good time to bring children into the world and we don't know what to do. That's the world outside of Christianity. Jesus said, the pagans have to worry about life, but not my children. He said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, how I want you to live, and everything else will be added unto you, Jesus said. Wow, isn't that great? How many believe that? Okay, no more Tums this week. Don't have to get indigestion. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. What things were he talking about specifically in 1 Timothy 6? Money, the pursuit of money. Paul said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Aren't we glad in America we don't have a problem with pursuit of money? Paul tells Timothy, as a Christian, don't do that. There's nothing there. The Bible says in Proverbs, money has a way of growing wings and flying away. Don't pursue those things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue what's right before God. goes on to say when Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, so flee youthful passions. Don't be guided by your passions. If it feels good, do it. Don't be led by what you want to do. Do what is right before God. Pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with all those who call upon God with a pure heart. So when the Bible says pursue righteousness, it's find out what's pleasing to God. Find out the way He wants you to live, not the way we want to live, not what seems right to us, what God knows is right for us. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation. It exalts every marriage, every family, our society, every part of our life around us. When we do what's right before God, His blessings are upon us. Goes on to say here, even more specifically in 1 John, listen to this, strong words. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Notice there's no third party. There's no sort of God and sort of devil. There's no sort of being a Christian. You're either in God's kingdom or you're in the kingdom of Satan. There are only two. And it says, how do we know the difference? Whoever does not practice righteousness, see that, is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Who does not practice righteousness. See, so righteousness is also right living, right action. And how do we know what's right before God? We can know no other way than in His Word. I talk to Christians so oftentimes. I say, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Yes, He's my Lord. Do you believe the Scriptures? Not too often. Do you read them at all? I don't get a chance to do that too much. I'm busy. Well, how do you know what He wants you to do if you don't know His Word? Well, me and God have this thing. We have this understanding. You know what? God understands. You don't understand if that's your understanding. God has a way. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do? So we cannot walk as a Christian and glorify God and honor God without knowing His Word. We've got to know His Word. Jesus told us, here's the whole job of us as Christians. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, right? Matthew 28. How many know that verse? That's our great commission. That's our job. This is why we're here as Christians. This is why God's given us another day to declare His glory. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what else are we supposed to do? And teach them all that I have commanded you, Jesus said. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. We can't be a disciple without learning His Word. Because that's a disciple is a follower of Christ. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why is that? Because righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. We need to pray for our country. Because we think we have a better idea. We're moving down a road that seems right to us. Seems more fair than God's Word. Seems more free than having some transcendent moral code that we have to live by. Casting off all those religious restraints seems like a better way. But you know the end of that road? Death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And that's where we're heading. We need to pray for our nation because God's Word is truth and life. Gary DeMar had some interesting comments. He's a modern-day historian. From the founding of the colonies to the Declaration of the Supreme Court, America's heritage is built upon the principles of the Christian religion. And yet, secularists are dismantling this foundation brick by brick, attempting to deny the very core of our national life. How many are aware of that? Taught in public schools and state colleges across our land are revisionists have revised history. And how have they revised it? They've tried to eradicate everything Christian about the foundation of our land, which is really futile. All you have to go is Washington, D.C., to see the Christian foundations of our country. Gary goes on to say, in 1892, the Supreme Court of the United States declared, this is a Christian nation. The Supreme Court declared that in 1892. In 2009, the President of the United States says, we are not a Christian nation. Okay. But what were the foundations of our nation? Christian. During the War of Independence, Congress resolved to import 20,000 volumes of the Bible because, they said, the use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great. That's a Congress of the United States. Importing Bibles. Why did they have to import Bibles? Because at that time, England would not allow anyone in America to print Bibles in English. It was against the law to do that at that time. So when America began to declare their independence, they imported Bibles. The New England Confederation, these are the early 13 states, stated that the purpose of the colonies was to, listen to this, advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and with peace. That sounds pretty Christian to me about our foundations, right? Harvard College required that each student believe that the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. This is Harvard College. How many know Harvard, Princeton, and Yale were all seminaries? Originally seminaries meant to crank out Christian leaders, Christian politicians, Christian CEOs, godly pastors. They were seminaries to begin with. Why? Because the people in the early stages of America understood something. They were very wise. And what did they understand? Righteousness exalts a nation. What's doing right before God will exalt our land. It will bless our country and every person in our country. So they were trying to establish that in America. John Adams wrote, "The Christian religion is the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity." And engraved on the metal cap of the top of the Washington Monument. How many have been to Washington, D.C.? How many have seen the pictures of the Washington Monument? 550-foot spire there? Well, at the very cap on the Washington Monument, there are four sides to it. And on one of those sides are the names of men who participated in building it, and there are some other things on the other sides. But on the east-facing side of the peak, there are two Latin words on that side. Laus Deo. You know what that means? Glory be to God. Praise be to God. Is on the east-facing side of the Washington Monument. Why? Because the rising of the sun every day, that was one of the first things that hit the top of the Washington Monument, is praise be to God. I'd say that's pretty Christian in our foundations here. And many other places in our nation's capital, do you see Scripture embossed in the granite, lest it should ever be question thrown into question. Praise God. Praise be to God every morning, starting with that, over our nation. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation. The results of righteousness. Alexis de Tocqueville was a famous 19th century French statesman, historian, and social philosopher. He traveled to America in the 1830s to discover the reasons for the incredible success of this new nation. What makes America great? Why do we have such a great land? Well, he went on the hunt. He said, "I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America. I sought it in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. But not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." Because the pulpits were flaming with teaching about living the way God wants us to live, what is right before God. And he said, there is the genius of America. And he goes on to say, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. What was he saying there? If America ever ceases to quit doing what's right before God, what's good before God, we will cease to be great. So we need to pray for our country. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation. Doing what's right before God. And in contrast, you find another great man in 1983, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, winner of the 1970 Nobel Prize for Literature, gave an address in London in which he attempted to explain why so much evil had befallen the Russian people at that time. He says, quote, "Over a half a century ago," this is in his speech, over a half a century ago while I was still a child. I recall hearing a number of old people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. They said, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Wow, what a statement that he heard as a little child. He said, since then I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of our revolution. In the process, I have read hundreds of books, collected hundreds of personal testimonies, and have already contributed 8 volumes of my own toward the effort of clearing away the rubble left by the upheaval. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Why? Because only righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, just what it says in Proverbs 14. A reproach means shame and disgrace. Sin is a reproach to any people. But doing what's right before God will exalt any nation. We see this all through the history of Israel. God created a nation for his very own in the Israelites. He wanted to display his glory and his power to all the other nations so that all the nations would know there's only one God in heaven, the Lord God Almighty. And all the other gods were not gods at all. When people were praying, they were praying to figments of their imagination because there was nobody there. There are no other gods. There's only one true God, and so it's true today too. Every other religion in the world outside of Christianity, when they pray to God, there's nothing there. There is no God there. We don't trust in prayer. We believe prayer in the name of Jesus to Almighty God has great power in its effect, right? Our trust is in God. God wanted to display his glory through Israel. And when Israel was walking with God, all the nations around them took note. But when Israel went away from God, God's judgment came upon them and they were a reproach. When a king was good in Israel, like Hezekiah or Josiah, who ridded the land of all the gods, God gave peace to the nation of Israel, and all the other nations took note that there was something different about them. Jericho, the people of Jericho, trembled in their shoes when Israel came across because they saw the waters of the Jordan open and they said, God is with them and not with us. Solomon, in all of his glory, people were coming from every nation to hear of his wisdom and to see this great nation of Israel. The Queen of Sheba went to Solomon and she lost her breath. She said she almost fainted when she saw the majesty of his kingdom. And you know what the Queen of Sheba said? God Almighty has blessed you. She didn't give Solomon the credit. She gave Almighty God the credit. Because righteousness exalts a nation. We see that through the history of Israel, and so it is true today. The reason that America is blessed isn't because God favors America above all other nations, because he's no respecter of persons, right? We are not more special to God than any other nation in the world. The reason there's a blessing on America, and there has been, is because of the Christian foundations of our country, and that we understood that as we turn to God, and we honor God, and we reverence God in our homes, in our lives, in our marriages, that God's blessing will come on us. Because that's what his word says. And we need to pray that our country will get back to that. We've had 2 great awakenings across our land, and we're due for a third. Amen? A great turning to God, and we need that. We're going to show a little video clip here this morning of a guy that I really appreciate. And the first time we saw him was about 20 years ago. His name is David Barton. He is considered one of the foremost American historians of our day and very well-versed in the Christian foundations of our land. When my wife and I first saw David Barton, it was at a Bill Gothard conference in Tennessee, but I was so impressed with him. 2 reasons. Number one, the grasp he had on American history. The original documents that he had. This guy has a whole collection of original documents. And I was so impressed with the handle. He was so inspiring about appreciating the blessings of God upon our nation. And the second thing that impressed me about him is he talked so fast. I had never heard anybody put out that much information in a short period of time. So we're going to see a video clip of a message that you can get online. It's a message about our country. And he begins with talking about the first Bible printed in America that was used in all of our public schools. So we're going to pick up David Barton here and listen to what he says about our nation. Isn't that great? You can hear that whole message too, and many others, if you go to Wall Builders or David Barton. Praise God for that. Benjamin Rush said, if we could just get Americans to read the Bible and do it. Did you hear what he said there? You think that's true today too? As a pastor, you know what I would say? If we could just get Christians to read the Bible and do it. Because that's being lost in our churches across our land. He said, you will solve all the social problems. That's true. That's true. Because righteousness exalts a nation. Every facet of that nation, as we learn to do what's right before God. And we can only come to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank God for that. The one quote there, John Adams, the general principles on which our fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. As we celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow, have picnics together, camping together, see fireworks, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the fact that our founding fathers were wise and they understood that as we walked in the way that was right before God, our nation would be blessed. And the United States of America is a great, great land. Amen? Because God's blessing has been on us and we are under His mercy right now. Turn to me with me to one more passage in closing, Psalm 96. Go back to the left in your Bible to Psalm 96. And we're going to close with this passage. Because it calls us to do something that we have to do today as Christians, and that is to declare the greatness of our God in America. If we don't declare, who else is going to declare the truth of God's word and the tremendous gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? It says here in Psalm 96, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. God wants us to speak out. As we say here so many times, everyone else has come out of the closet. Christians need to come out of the closet. Don't be intimidated by the world. The darkness cannot overcome the light. We are to tell about Christ in every situation and opportunity that God gives us. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous work among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. We trust in our Creator. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness and tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let's just close right there. Say among the nations, the Lord God Almighty, He reigns. Let's bow for prayer today. Thank you, Father. As our worship team comes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Almighty God, we praise You for Your sovereignty. We praise You for Your almightiness. We praise You for Your love and Your mercy this morning. And just in a few closing minutes here, just in an attitude of prayer for every Christian that's in this room, let's lift up prayers individually, just quietly before God on behalf of our nation. There's specific things that are on our hearts today, and let's just pray right now because God is hearing our prayers and He answers our prayers. Thank You, Lord. Father in heaven, thank You. God's word tells us, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. O God Almighty, thank You for that promise. Thank You that You hear our prayers, O God, as we lift them up to You. May we be the first to repent. Father, may we be the first to turn our lives fully over to You. May we be the first to begin to make Your word the center of our lives, individually, in our marriages, in our homes. For indeed, O God, You bless those who follow You. Those who honor You, You honor. And righteousness indeed exalts a nation. Father in heaven, thank You for Your mercy and Your words to us today. We give you praise for all these things, Lord, and we celebrate your greatness this weekend and through tomorrow and the blessings upon our lives here in the United States of America. Thank you, Almighty God, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. We're going to sing this last song here in closing.